بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ميراث الأنبياء ويب سايت is pleased to present the recording of a lesson in English titled Reading from Sheikh Sa'ad al-Hussein's Abridged Tafsir Ibn Kathir Juz Amma, delivered by Ustad Abu Ishaq Nadim حفظه الله تعالى during the blessed month of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra. We ask Allah to make it a source of benefit for all.
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be able to read together and benefit from some of the works of the scholars of the past and present. And in this series of lessons, bi-ithnillah, we will be reading through and benefiting from the abridgment of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, which was abridged by the scholar, Sheikh Sa'ad al-Hussein, rahimahullah ta'ala. This scholar who spent many years of his life rectifying the education system in Saudi Arabia. He himself was born in the year of 1353 in Hijra, approximately 1930s, and he completed his higher education in the United States in the 1970s or the late 1960s, and he had a strong understanding of the Deen of Islam, and he had actually graduated from the college or the faculty of Sharia in Mecca in the 1950s. Before that, he had graduated in his secondary school from the Dar al-Tawheed in At-Ta'if in the early 1950s, in 1372. And so Sheikh Sa'ad al-Hussein, rahimahullah, after he came back from the United States, he was asked to look over various ministries in the educational field in Saudi Arabia. And he spent many years, maybe more than 20 years, looking after how the education system was built in and how it was to develop, and the systems for every group and range of students. And he speaks about that in detail in some of his works. However, Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, noticing his intelligence and his understanding of the deen and his strong pen, he asked him to take a break from the modern knowledge or sciences and move over to the religious sciences. And initially he refused, stating that he was going to have an impact on the educational system in the country. But eventually he decided to make that change. And upon Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz's advice and invitation, and then finally he lived in Syria for 22 years, calling to At-Tawheed and the Sunnah, and refuting Bid'ah, and refuting Sufism, and refuting grave worship. And he became known for his strong pen, and he has a number of works where he has abridged writings of the scholars of the past and of the present. He, rahimahullah ta'ala, passed away in approximately the year 1436 Hijrah, which was approximately 8 years ago, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he was in his mid-80s. And from one of his works is Al-Muhaddab min Tafsir Ibn Kathir, which means the abridgment of Ibn Kathir. And the reason why I decided to read this book and this tafsir and his abridgment was for more than one reason. And one of the reasons that drew me to this was because of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Mirath al-Anbiya, the website that we are currently broadcasting on, being under the supervision and being one of the blessings that Allah Ta'ala has placed in the hands of our noble brother and elder, Sheikh Abu Ziyad Khalid ibn Muhammad Baghis, Shafahullah, and from the blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala upon Abu Ziyad, upon Khalid Baghis, was that he asked for the last three juz of the Quran from Muhadhab ibn Kathir of Sa'd al-Husayn to be published, to be printed. And him and his family, they funded that, and they wanted to print this and distribute it in the name of their mother, who had passed away not long before that time, to make this piece of work as an ongoing charity, Sadaqa Jariya, on her behalf. So this was one of the things that drew me to this particular tafsir and this abridgment of the tafsir. Not to mention that the ease of style of the Imam, of the Sheikh Sa'd al-Husayn rahimahullah, and the fact that this scholar, Sa'd al-Husayn, he has not been given much mention in the English-speaking communities, although he himself was fluent in the English language, and he happened to be in the United States in the 1970s, if I'm not mistaken, when Sheikh Abdullah al-Ghudayyan rahimahullah, he went there for treatment, and he happened to meet Sa'd al-Husayn, Sheikh Sa'd al-Husayn, over there. And since he was fluent in English, he ended up being Sheikh Abdul Ghudayyan's translator. He had a number of interactions with the major scholars of Islam, that whose names we only hear about and read about. So, rahimahullah ta'ala, to all of those names that have passed, and may Allah ta'ala preserve the scholars that are present. So Sheikh Sa'd al-Husayn had a great love for the Salafi scholars of Islam, the likes of Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, the likes of Sheikh Uthaymeen, the likes of Sheikh al-Albani. He had a great love for Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, Hafidhahu Allah ta'ala wa shafahu, and many other scholars of Islam. So we're going to go, inshallah, and start reading from the Muhadhab. Now, the Muhadhab that was printed by the family of Abu Ziyad Khalid Baghis consists of the last three juz of the Quran. But since our gatherings would not permit more than hopefully even the complete last juz of the Quran, I decided to go through just that portion of the Quran, hoping that Allah Ta'ala puts barakah in our time to be able to go through it, and albeit briefly. And as the scholars have mentioned, that you know, this the area of tafsir is a vast area, and it's not an area, to be honest, that someone like me would be able to do justice to. In fact, there's a lot more that the tafsir of the Quran deserves, and reading it like this is little in way of what is due to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it was being asked of me to start a Ramadan lesson broadcast on Mirath al-Anbiya, and for that reason I reluctantly accepted, and then decided that this would be a relevant book and a pertinent book, since it's relating to tafsir, and Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and since it was abridged by a noted and respected scholar in Islam, and since it was a portion of it was published and printed by the owner and the founder of the website Mirath al-Anbiya, which has been praised by so many of the scholars of Islam for the good that they do and have done in the past and continue to do. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put all of this in the good scales and the heavy, make it heavy in the good deeds and the good scales of all those who have a role in spreading this khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the first part of Al-Ushr al-Akhir is Surah Al-Fatiha. In actual fact, the first part of the published version was So the Fatiha. And it just so happens that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, when he gathered his tafsir of Juz Amma, when it was gathered in his in a published form, then the first surah there is also Surah Al-Fatiha. And inshallah, for clarity and sometimes for further explanation, we will be using some of the other books of tafsir that are available, that I have available to me, and relying mainly and heavily on the tafsir of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله. The Shaykh rahimahullah Sa'd al-Husayn. So this is a summary of what is found in Ibn Kathir. So it's an abridged version. So we'll read it directly from the text. So he says that Bismillah, this statement in the name of Allah relates to a command, a verb in the imperative form, meaning start, ibda. Or it could also be a what is known as a khabar, which in English terms is known as the predicate in a sentence. And which means, so either it means begin in the name of Allah, or it means in the name of Allah I begin. And he said, this is due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ, read in the name of your Lord who created. And the Sahaba, radhwanallahi alayhim, they would begin the book of Allah with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the scholars of Islam agreed that it is a part of an ayah in Surah An-Naml, and however they disagreed, is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim a separate ayah at the beginning of every surah, or is that the case only for Surah Al-Fatiha, or was it written in order to separate between the different surahs, and that is not an ayah, and that it is not an ayah, and there are very and he said that there are a number of opinions regarding this. And as for that which has been mentioned, in that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah in every surah except Surah Al-Bara'ah, which is Surah Al-Tawbah, it has been narrated from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar, Ibn Al-Zubayr, Abu Hurairah, and Ali radiyallahu anhum. And from the Tabi'een, it was the position of Ata' and Tawus, Sa'id ibn Jubayr. And this was also the position of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Imam Shafi'i, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, according to one narration from him. It was also the statement of Imam Malik, Abu Hanifa, and their companions that it is not an ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha, nor from the other surahs. Then he continues and says, as for that which relates to whether it should be recited loud or not, then this is an issue which stems off this issue, off of this very issue that we mentioned. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he took the position that it should be recited loudly with Surah Al-Fatiha and with the surah that comes after it. And this is the position and the madhab of a group amongst the Sahaba and a group amongst the Tabi'een and the Imams of the Muslims. And in Sahih al-Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that he was asked about the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said his recitation was that he would elongate and then he would elongate the ends of or each verse, and then he recited Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Yamuddu Bismillah, wa Yamuddu ar-Rahman, wa Yamuddu ar-Rahim. So, and in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sunan of Abi Dawood and the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah and the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim from Salama radiallahu anha, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would cut off his recitation after every ayah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. He continues and says that the Others amongst the scholars of Islam took the position that the what is known as al-basmala or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not to be pronounced loudly in the prayer. And this is the position that was firmly recorded as the position of the four al-Khulafa al-Rashidun, as well as Abdullah ibn al-Mughaffal and a group amongst the Salaf of the Tabi'een. It is the position of Abu Hanifa, Thawri, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And with regards to Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said that it should not be read at all, not openly and not pronounced loudly, nor pronounced quietly. And they used a proof for that, what occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who said that I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and they would begin their prayer with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And in the narration of Sahih Muslim, it mentions that they would not la yadhkuruna bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim fi awwali qira'atin wala fi akhiriha, that they would not make mention of Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, not in the beginning of the recitation nor at its end. So this is, Sa'd al-Husayn says, so this is the, these are the various positions of the Imams, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon them, and they are somewhat close to each other in that they all agreed that the prayer of the person who read al-Basmala out loud or who read it quietly would be accepted. So Allah deserves, belongs all praise. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which denotes His Lordship, that He is Ar-Rabb tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this name was not given to anyone besides Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, these are two names that have been derived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for Allah's name Ar-Rahman, and this is specific to Him, nobody besides Him has been named this name. And as for Ar-Rahim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described others with it, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, a messenger has come to you from amongst yourselves. It hurts him to find that you have that you feel any difficulty, and he strives for your cause, and he is forbearing and merciful with the believers. Raufun Rahim. And also Allah Ta'ala described others with other names of His subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin nabtalihi faja'alnahu sami'an basira. Indeed, we created mankind from a nutfa, from a drop, mixed fluid, and we trialed him and tested him, and we made him hearing and seeing, sami'an basira. As for the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah means Ashukru Lillahi Khalisan. Thanks belong to Allah purely and sincerely, not belonging to anyone else from His creation in that purity. Due to the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that can never be enumerated and never be counted. And it also includes praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala praised Himself with. And it also includes the command to worship Him alone and to glorify and to praise Him. As Allah Ta'ala said, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rabb, He is the King, the Owner, the Sovereign, Al-Mutasarrif. He is Al-Malik, the Owner, the King, Al-Mutasarrif, the one who takes control of His creation and does therein whatever He wills, subhanahu ta'ala. And the word, the name Ar-Rabb is not used for anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, if it is used, it is only used annexed with another term. For example, Rabbud Dar, the Lord or the owner of a dwelling, of a house. As for the word Al-Alameen, then this is the plural of Alam, and it means everything in existence besides Allah Azza wa Jal. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, these are two of Allah's names taken from mercy. This is because the first time that he spoke about the meaning of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he was speaking about it in terms of the Basmala, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then he did the tafsir of the next ayah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Some of the reciters, they recited this ayah as Maliki, Maliki Yawm al-Din, and others Maliki. And both of them are correct. The word Malik is taken from Al-Milk, which means ownership. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Indeed, we will inherit the earth and all those upon it, and they will return to us. And as for Malik, and this is taken from Al-Mulk, which is ownership. And as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. To whom does the ownership belong, or the sovereignty belong today? It belongs to Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar, the one, the overpowering. إِنَّمَا أُضِيفَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. He said that, and the reason it was mentioned, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, the reason that it was annexed with and mentioned with the day of the resurrection, or the day of reckoning, is because that day nobody will be called upon, nobody will be supplicated, nobody will be called to except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yawm al-Din is the day of accountability, that the creation will be taken to account. It is the day of resurrection, the day of Qiyamah. Those that day that the people will be taken to account for their actions. And as for the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek help. Al-ibadah, he said, worship in Islam, or in the legislation of Islam, is a term which comprises of complete love and complete humility and fear. And the reason why the object of the sentence, or the predicate of the sentence, was mentioned first in this sentence, Iyaka, and this is in order to show the importance and to restrict that there is none who's worshipped except you alone. It was mentioned twice, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. You alone it is that we worship, you alone it is that we seek help from. Meaning that we do not rely upon anyone. We do not worship anyone besides you. And we do not rely upon anyone besides you. And this is what is known as complete obedience and complete subservience. And the whole of the religion of Islam, he said, goes back to these two meanings. The first of them, freeing oneself from diverting any act of worship to other than Allah. And the second is, diverting oneself from giving any power or any ability or any rendering of matters except to Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. So worship Him and rely solely upon Him. And for this reason, it is not permissible. Prayer is not accepted for that person who doesn't declare and recite and say those words. As it occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihat al-kitab. There is no prayer for that person that did not recite the opening chapter of the book, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha. And the reason why Iyaka na'budu was mentioned before Iyaka nasta'een, because worshipping Allah, this is what is finally intended. This is the absolute goal. And as for the seeking help, then this is a means towards fulfilling that goal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his slave, at the most noble of times, where he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. He said, praise belongs to Allah who sent the book upon his slave. And he said, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ. And when the slave of Allah stood to invite to him, and he said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا. Glory be to Allah who took his slave on a night journey. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, اِهْدِنَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This ayah, guide us to the straight path, it includes the meaning of enlighten us and give us success and provide us and give us. And the word that has been mentioned, the word illa, which means to, the preposition, is also used at times with this very same verb, which is ihdi, which is to guide and to give. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, ijtabahu wa hadahu ila sirati mustaqim. He chose him and he guided him to the straight path. Meaning, he directed him and he pointed him towards. And it can also be used with the preposition lam, the lam, which is, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, regarding the speech of the people of paradise, alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. Praise belongs to Allah who guided us to this. So all of this is allowed meaning that he guided us, he gave us success towards this, and he made us worthy of this. Imam Ibn Jarir, Abu Ja'far Ibn Jarir Tabari rahimahullah, he said, the ummah has all agreed, from the people of At-Ta'wil, meaning the people of Tafsir, have all agreed that As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, this is the clear path that has no crookedness in it. And then he mentioned, then he said, that yet the people's wording in explaining what this path is, it varied from the words of the Salaf and those that came after them. They explained the word As-Sirat in various ways. All of it goes back to one thing, that is to follow Allah and to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah said, and what is more pertinent to the tafsir and to the ta'wil and to the understanding of this ayah, as far as I'm concerned, he said, is that it means guide us to remain firm upon that which you have been, that you have chosen for us and gave us success to be upon, from amongst those people upon whom your blessings lie, from your servants, in statement and in action. So then he said, rahimahullah, if it is then said, how can a believer ask for guidance every prayer and at other times, while he has already been described as someone who is upon guidance? And the answer to this is that if it wasn't for our need for this guidance day and night, to ask for this guidance, then Allah Ta'ala would not have guided us and directed us to it. For indeed the slave of Allah is in dire need in every moment and every situation of Allah, the Most High, to keep him firm upon the guidance and to keep him, his feet firmly planted upon that guidance, and to give him insight and to increase him with knowledge and understanding of insight upon that path, and to keep him remaining upon that path. As for the saying of Allah Ta'ala, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The path of those upon whom your blessings lie, not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor those who have gone astray. As for Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, then the path of those upon whom your blessings lie, then this has been explained as as-Sirat al-Mustaqim, or this explains what is meant by as-Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, and clarifies its meaning. And they are those people upon whom Allah's blessings lie, and they are those very same people mentioned in Surah An-Nisa in ayah 69 and 70, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِهِ عَلِيمًا. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they will be raised with those people upon whom Allah's blessings lie, from the prophets and the truthful ones, the martyrs and the righteous. And what excellent companionship that is. That is the greatest blessing from Allah, and Allah is sufficient to have knowledge of this. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, not those that have earned your anger, nor those who went astray. Meaning, not the path of those who have earned your anger. And these are those people whose intentions were corrupt. So they knew the truth, and they swerved away from it, and they left it, they abandoned it. Neither the path of those who went astray, and those are the people who lost knowledge, who are void of knowledge, clamoring in misguidance, not guided to the truth. For indeed, the path of the people of Iman, the people of true faith, comprises of knowledge of the truth and acting upon that knowledge. This surah, the Shaykh says, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said that this surah, this noble surah, contains seven ayat. In them is found praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it also mentions the reckoning and the hereafter, the day of reckoning. And it also contains guidance of His slaves to call upon Him alone, humbly and with humility, and to free oneself from all strength and power of their own to be able to fulfill that. It also contains sincerity of worship to Allah alone, singling Him out in worship, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of all partners and all equals and all similarities. And it also contains calling upon Allah ta'ala and asking Him for guidance to the straight path. And that is the upright religion. And to call upon Allah, to ask Him to keep us firm upon that path until it leads us to cross the physical path on the day of resurrection. That path, that bridge, the sirat, that one who crosses it will go and enter into the gardens of bliss. This surah also contains an encouragement to do righteous actions, to be resurrected amongst those people who are the people of righteous actions, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it also contains a warning to follow the ways of the people of falsehood, so that one is not resurrected with them, with those people who followed those ways on the day of resurrection. And they are those who earned Allah's anger, and they are those who went astray. Lastly, the Shaykh says, it is recommended for a person who recites Surah Al-Fatiha to say at the end, Ameen, due to what occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, from Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi was, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the Imam says Ameen, then say Ameen, for indeed whoever's Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, all of their previous sins will be forgiven. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from that which we heard, and to act upon the best of that which we learnt. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.